Well, last week was a blessing to have John and Cindy Mortimer here to hear John share with us. That was just an absolute treat. I always appreciate when he comes and shares. And today I'll be moving on with a short message series, one that I've titled Maturity, Growing Deeper in Our Walk with Christ. A few weeks ago, I spoke about water baptism, and I had mentioned that water baptism was not the destination, but it was really the beginning. And then if that is the case, if it's the beginning, then where are we going and what is the ending? What is it, what is it that we are moving toward? Is it to just remain faithful and not stray from following Christ? For many people, that's their goal. It's just to hold on to faith. But they really go nowhere deeper with the Lord. And there are some who just don't want to move in their faith. Yet for many people, to move forward in their faith, they might be thinking it is about growing in their relationship with Christ. And that would be a great answer, but what does it look like to grow in our relationship with Christ? What is it to grow in that relationship? And I want to take a moment and think about that. I'm pretty sure that almost all of you here know who Jesus Christ is. Many of you, hopefully most of you, have personally given your lives to Christ. You have made Jesus the Lord of your life, meaning you have made Him first in your life, and that is fantastic and praiseworthy. But what's next? What are you moving toward? If it is nothing, you have work to do. If it is growing in a relationship with Christ, what's your plan to do that? How are you intentionally moving? How are you intentionally doing that? What's your goal? So that's kind of some of the questions that I'm asking. And there may be many goals, there may be many targets in the form of doing this or doing that. Many ministries or outreaches require work. They require us to do things. But if you are seeing yourself as a disciple who wants to grow in your relationship with Christ, you need to be intentional about growing. I think many people in many churches can be like sheep without shepherds, where they go and what they do are really irrelevant as long as they're in God's pasture. Kind of getting that idea that we're God's sheep, but we're just kind of floating around. No real rhyme or reason. Description's a little strange, but many Christians are just existing year after year with no real goal, no real challenge, no real purpose, no real change. Just same old, same old. And when I think about that, I think of like a stagnant swamp. The water is there, but it's not really going anywhere. Is that what God wants from us? Is there more? I know I have mentioned this before, so I'm sorry if you've already heard it. Maybe I've said it more than I've thought many times, maybe, but it just fits here. There's oftentimes I'll talk to my kids, and as I see them grow and getting older, and it seems like time is going faster, I'll tell my kids to stop growing. My boys especially, you have got to listen to me and stop growing. And usually there's a big old smile and they say, no, God makes me grow. I can't stop growing. And it's very true. Physically, they'll keep growing unless something happens, unless they no longer get proper nutrition or unless they get some disease that affects their growing, they're going to continue to grow. Now, we haven't had any issues, so we anticipate they're going to grow until adulthood, into full-grown adults. But what about spiritual growth? Do we expect the same in our spiritual growth as we do in physical growth? Do we want to grow spiritually? That is a question. Do we want to grow spiritually? You see, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and make Him Lord of our lives, Jesus has told us that we are born again. That's found in John chapter 3. We receive a portion of the Holy Spirit at that moment, and we are born of the Spirit, born again. I'd like to read from John chapter 3. I'd like to read the first six verses. And if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 3, or you can follow along on the screen here. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Now, Nicodemus was a well-educated Pharisee, and he knew the law very well. He was drawn to Jesus. And it's interesting to hear him ask the question, "Well, how can someone be born again?" I mean, just the picture of having to enter a mother's womb again to be born again, it's just, that doesn't make any sense. But here we get a glimpse of what happens when we put our faith in Jesus. You see, everyone knows what it is to be physically born. I mean, you either see it or you know how small an infant is after they're born. But being spiritually born in Christ, though, Jesus is giving that same mental picture. That, okay, physically we might be grown, but spiritually, when we put our faith in Jesus, we're like a newborn again. We're like a newborn spiritually. So that moment that we follow Christ, we can say that we are infants. And if we are infants in the Spirit, then what does it look like to grow and to mature? So that word mature is something that a couple of pastor friends and myself started talking about a couple weeks ago. Conversation came up and we began talking about Christian maturity. What is it to be mature in general? Not just Christian maturity, but what is it to be mature? If I were to ask you, are you mature? What would your answer be? Do you know someone that needs to be more mature? Now, please don't be turning around and winking at anyone. But as parents, I think as parents, we see that as our kids grow, generally speaking, they mature as well. As they physically grow, they mature as well. To mature is to be full grown or to become more full grown. Not just physically, but mature in behaviors, mature in thinking skills, and mature in other abilities taking on responsibilities, maturing in attitudes and emotions. So to mature is to be fully capable to be independent, but also to be mature is to be in control of a number of different things, like the emotions and attitudes, to have control of those. At least that's how we often look at that word. Yet spiritual maturity does have some similarities, but maybe some differences too. Growing in spiritual maturity is growing in Christ, growing in grace and in knowledge. Growing in spiritual maturity is having less dependence on other believers who share their faith and knowledge of Christ, and having the ability to grow in the Lord through a close relationship with Christ Himself and His Spirit. To be spiritually mature is also to have a knowledge of Christ, having the ability to rely on Christ Himself and relying on His Word and being able to take in His Word yourself. It is relying on Christ for our needs. I'll actually be getting into a little more on that particular topic in my next message. But what does the Bible say about what our attitude should be if we are in a state of spiritual infancy? Turn with me to Colossians 1:24, and I'll begin in reading out of that section. And we know that the Apostle Paul ministered to many churches, and he was what I would consider a very mature believer. If you know, the Apostle Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of the letters. So I would consider him a very mature person. He taught. He suffered at great lengths for Christ, not to elevate himself, but to elevate Christ. And he helped others grow in their faith and maturity. So the Apostle Paul he's a mature believer. So let's read what he had to say in Colossians 1:24. And I'll be reading this out of the New Living Translation. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for His body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Paul was given a task, a calling to teach and to share, something that he felt the responsibility for many of these churches to kind of oversee and to teach. But as we read this portion of Scripture, Paul is kind of building up to a climactic point. He's building up to a point that Christ dwells in us. Those who put their faith in Jesus, it is then that Christ dwells in us. So Paul and all who know the gospel message are telling others about Christ, so they too can know Him. Jew or Gentile doesn't matter. It comes down to faith. Yet in verse 28, we see something. Paul and those ministering with him are warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given them. And what is the goal for Paul and his fellow ministers of Christ? What's their goal? Their goal, I can tell you that it was more than just seeing people make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. It was more than people just saying they believe in Jesus. It was even more than people saying they wanted to follow Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Those are big steps. Putting your faith in Christ is a big step. But Paul wanted more. You see, after they believed, there was continued teaching and continued warnings. What was the goal? The goal was that the people would be perfect in their relationship to Christ. Now we need to be a little careful with that word perfect. And if you have a different translation of the Bible, you may see a different word. And I would like to share a different translation with you out of the ESV. So Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. What's the difference between perfect and mature? I think we know. I can look around the sanctuary here and I can point out many mature people in Christ. There are many mature Christians. Yet, if I were to ask, are they perfect? Well, no. They would not be perfect yet. They're still learning. They're still listening to warnings. They're still listening and teaching. But as mature believers, they are also sharing their faith and teaching as well. So some translations may use that word perfect, but I think the idea behind it is mature, to be more mature in Christ. That is Paul's goal. As he ministers to a number of different congregations, what is his desire? To see more mature believers. At what point are we truly perfected? I want to go to that point. The point that we're perfected is when we are renewed in the presence of Christ. Until that time, we are maturing. It was Paul's goal to present mature believers in Christ. And had Paul arrived as much as I like to speak highly of the Apostle Paul, had he arrived to perfection? Absolutely not. He was still a work in progress himself. So I think for us, our goal as believers, I think for us, after we've put our faith in Christ, is to mature, to continue to mature. We won't stop maturing until we're at the feet of Jesus in heaven. It must be understood that we don't stop learning. We don't stop striving to grow in our relationship with Christ. Our lifelong goal is a lifelong pursuit of maturity in Christ. I think we all know physically we stop growing at a certain point. Spiritually, God has given us enough that we can continue to grow and mature up until the point that he calls us home, and we're face to face. Do you believe this to be true? Mick Keepers has been on my mind a lot lately. Cal and I were talking about him a couple weeks ago. Mick knew the Bible well. Mick was very wise. I would say he was a tremendous man of God. If you don't know him, he passed away, but he attended here for many, many years. He was someone that I looked up to. Yet talking with Mick, he would outright tell me he still had things he was working on. As mature of a man I believed him to be, his faith was still maturing. Have we been serious about our faith? Do we see it as something that we are to grow in? What are we doing to grow in it? Or Have we been satisfied to just hang around and be content with just confessing our faith with no real steps to move ahead, to move forward? You see, in my New Year's message, I talked about common sins that we're content to keep. And that message challenged us, challenged everyone to remove the sin in our lives. That is a part of maturing, to separate ourselves from sin. It's setting ourselves apart to serve God is a huge part in maturing in Christ. To grow in our faith, striving for spiritual maturity in Christ is our goal. I told you that the Apostle Paul felt that he had more growing to do too, and he was not perfect. I'd like to look at where I got that from out of Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my very own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to make what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Now I realize there's a lot in that scripture, and I'm going to let you digest most of that on your own. But at the beginning of this section, Paul outright says that he has not attained perfection. Paul was mature and probably didn't have that much sin in his life. He was very close to the Lord and did his will most of the time, if not all the time that we can tell. We really don't see some of the struggles that Paul may have had. But he's telling us he still had growing to do. As we grow, we too will struggle less with sin and will depend more on Christ, even more. There'll be less of myself getting in the way and more of Christ in me. And when we see less sin in our lives, we will still continue to strive for and strain ourselves for what lies ahead in Christ. There's always more to find in Christ. Paul, who was very mature, was pressing onward toward the goal. And I want to tell you what the goal is. The goal isn't salvation. I know some people, they may take it that's what he's talking about is salvation. But we receive salvation from Christ when we committed our lives to him. We are pressing onward to the goal of being more like Christ. We are pressing on to know Christ deeply and to get to a point where we desire others to have what we have in Christ. That's maturity. Pursuing maturity isn't for a moment. Pursuing maturity isn't only for those who have just come to faith either. The pursuit of maturity is for a lifetime. It is for everyone here, no matter your age or circumstance in life. It is an act of response, an act of pursuit of more of Jesus. The interesting thing about the pursuit of maturity is that it is active and intentional. These words are important because they do require us to get up, to go, and to do. Kind of like Jesus' great commission that he has given us. Matthew 28:19. But so often the thought is that our maturity just happens. I realize we have the Holy Spirit who guides us, but it's still guiding. We must be active and intentional in our drawing closer to the Lord. What are we getting up for? What are we going out for? What are we doing? Come back next week and I'll be sharing a little more on what that looks like. But start now with the mindset that maturing in Christ is not just for the now, but for a lifetime. Are you committed to press on? Are you committed to strive for that closer relationship with Christ? Is your desire to have more of Him in your life? And if it isn't, why is that? What is keeping you from pressing on? So that's the questions I'll leave you with today.